This is Mr. McNeil speaking to you now. Our message for you today will be taken from the closing verses of chapter 4 of the Gospel according to Mark. Let me read to you these verses. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 35. On the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And they came over unto the other side of the sea. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. Our Father, we desire to acknowledge Thee. We approach Thee in the name of Thy beloved Son. We want to give Thee thanks for all the blessings Thou hast conferred upon us. And now, as we have been reading from the inspired Scriptures, we would beseech of Thee now that by Thy Holy Spirit, Thou wilt make these verses that we have read become alive in every heart. Grant that it may be like seed planted into fertile ground and bring forth fruit to Thy glory. Bless every listener at this time, for the Lord Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Now, just before I bring you a message, let us again listen to the singing. It was the Queen of Sheba who used these words when she came to prove Solomon with her hard questions. And after she had seen Solomon in all his glory, she said, Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. And it was at that time, when she came to see him, that she said, Behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. If the Queen of Sheba could say that about Solomon, who was only a man, what can you say, my friend, about the Lord Jesus? What he has done for this soul of mine, the half cannot be told. When we come over to the scripture that I read to you today from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4, here we find those disciples who were with him in the ship. I'm sure that they also, when they got to the end of their journey, would be able to say, The half has not been told. They said, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? I want to remind you of that today, that the half has never yet been told concerning the greatness and the glory and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The great pity is that in spite of the fact that the world rejected him and put him on a cross, here we are, in all those years that have come in between the crucifixion of Christ, right up to the present time, and in this so-called enlightened age, men and women are still closing their lives against the Lord and rejecting Him. Now, in the particular passage I read to you, I suggest that here we have these disciples of the Lord Jesus going on a voyage. If you forget all else that I may say, kindly keep these four simple little things in remembrance and think of them as you read this passage again in the privacy, perhaps, of your own homes. Think first of all of the directions they received when the Lord said to them, "Let us pass over unto the other side." Then I want you to think of the difficulties that they encountered, for there arose a great storm. It was a storm of adversity. The winds and the waves were against them. And then think again of the distress they expressed when they ran to the Saviour and they said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Oh, here's an expression of the distress of their souls. And then I want you to think again of the deliverance they experienced. There was a great calm, and then they came over unto the other side of the sea. Think of these four things for a short time. First of all, the directions they received. Now, they received these directions at the end of a very busy day. If you care to read through the preceding verses of chapter 4, you'll discover it was a busy day for the Lord, and no doubt a busy day for his disciples. The chapter begins by saying, "And he began again to teach by the seaside. There was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land." And he began to teach them. The Lord did not limit himself to a 20-minute sermon, nor yet did he limit himself to an hour. He simply went on teaching one thing after another, and the crowd waited around him, eager, as it were, to catch every word he would speak. Some were there because they wanted to be instructed. They loved to hear him. Others thought it was something new. There was others there who were his critics. They listened to him in order to condemn him. However, no matter what it was that brought the people around him, he had a busy day teaching them by parables. But now, the end of the day has come. 'Twas the end of a busy day. Yet after all the hours that were spent instructing the people, he said, "Let us pass over unto the other side." In plain words, we've got to go on the voyage. Now, let me suggest to all my listeners today that this reminds us of our lifetime. Life is like a voyage. The ship leaves one point that sets out for another harbour, and it's going to pass over the waters. Isn't that life? The voyage of life started when you were born. The voyage of life will cease when you leave this life and pass over into the other side. Oh, you've heard of the atheist when he was dying. He says, "Now for the leap into the dark." I'm sorry for these people when it comes to the end of life's voyage, when for them it's a leap into the dark. My friend, it's no leap into the dark for those who know the Lord. If the Lord says, "Let us pass over unto the other side," notice he said, "Let us," which means that he will be one of the companions on the voyage. Might I ask all my listeners today, on the voyage of life, my friend, have you got the Lord Jesus Christ as your companion? Do you know him to be in your little ship? Now, it was the end of a busy day, when perhaps they could find have bedded down for the night and taken a rest. The Lord said, "Let us pass over unto the other side." And at that point, they were quite willing to obey the voice of the Master. They were going to pass over. But they had his companionship. The place to which they travelled was the other side. I would like to ask all my listeners today that old question that used to be asked by mariners on the high sea before the days of telecommunications, when they had to give the signal, perhaps, through the megaphone, and one would stand on the deck and shout across the waves to the other ship, and he would ask this question, "Whither bound? Whither bound?" And the man on the other ship would send back the reply, telling them the port to which they were sailing. Suppose someone asked you that question today, as you're going on the voyage of life, travelling over life's sea, and someone was to ask you, "Whither bound, my friend? Whither bound?" I wonder, would you be able to tell them? You've heard that story about the old epitaph, haven't you, on the gravestone? It said, "Poor stranger, cast an eye. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so shalt thou be. Prepare thyself to follow me." But someone stood and read that, and they thought, that verse is incomplete. There should be something additional to that. And so he added these words, "To follow thee I'm not content, until I know which way you went. Whether to heaven or to hell, we'll wait and see, that day will tell." My friend, whither bound? The second thing we notice in this passage before us, the difficulties they encountered. Now remember this, that even if you have Christ in the vessel, that will not exempt you from difficulties. The Christian has to face difficulties in life just the same as the unbeliever. Life at times can be very unkind, you know. And so there are difficulties that must be faced. And although the Lord said, "Let us pass over to the other side," he never said to them that it would be a calm crossing. Of course, he never told them there would be a storm, although he knew. He said, "Let us go to the other side." He knew the storm would come. And perhaps you have thought that because you trusted Christ and became a Christian, that life was going to be easy for you. Perhaps someone told you that. That if you got converted, that would be the end of all your difficulties. No, it isn't, my friend. Christians have difficulties just the same as other people. But I would far rather pass through a storm in life with Christ in the vessel than try to go through the storms of life without him. It's better to have Christ as your captain. He knows how to steer the vessel, and he knows how to overcome the difficulties. You know, it's an interesting thing as you read through the Bible to discover different men who met with storms in life. I mean storms at sea. Jonah, for example, encountered a storm, and the reason he found himself in a storm was because he was running away from God in disobedience. And as he ran away from God and took the path of disobedience, he ran right into the face of a great storm. My friend, if you're trying to run from God, you may find yourself in difficulties. But Paul, the great preacher, the great apostle, he also encountered a storm. You'll read of that in Acts chapter 27. It was a storm in which the ship was lost, but not a man on board was lost. And while he encountered a great storm, Paul got the opportunity to preach to all the passengers and to all the crew. And according to the record, every one of them was one for Christ. Then here, you discover that the disciples encountered a storm when they were obeying the command of the Lord. Doing the thing that was right, going according to his command, he was with them in the ship, and yet there came a great storm. I press this home upon all our hearts today. Even when you are in obedience to the Lord, doing the thing that is right, you can rest assured, my friend, that the enemy will raise the storm. There may be the winds of adversity. There may be the waves of adversity. You may think that you're just about to be overtaken with the storm. So you'll meet with difficulties. But notice the distress they express. Seems to me they did all that they could in order to get themselves out of the difficulty, but at last they ran to the Savior. And in their distress, they said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Now, did they think they could perish when the Lord was with them in the vessel? Did they think the enemy could overthrow them and overthrow the Lord? See, my friend, it is possible for even Christians at times to get into a state of soul depression. The psalmist said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" And you know, a lot of Christians get into that state, a lot of people get into that state, they're cast down. They get into a state of soul depression. Why? Because their faith gets weak. See, faith is not always strong. The Lord speaks of great faith. He also speaks of those who have little faith. Here there was a time when their faith was tested and it became very weak. They reached a point of extremity. But I'm thankful for this, that in their extremity they cried to the Lord. Perhaps they ought to have cried to the Lord at the very beginning and they didn't. But I ask you as you listen to me, is it possible that in all the difficulties of life you say, "Oh, I can get out of this. I don't need to cry to the Lord about it. I don't need to trouble the Lord about this. I'll get out." No, my friend, listen. When you're faced with a difficulty, the first thing you do, take it to the Lord. Oh, what needless pain we bear, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Here they cry to the Lord in their distress and in their extremity, and they're saying, "Carest thou not that we perish?" In plain words, they realized the storm was too much for them. It was possible they were going to be overcome. So they take their problem to the Lord. It may be that my voice is reaching someone today in the home, or it may be you're in hospital. Perhaps you're in prison. For some of the people in prison listen to this program. Maybe you're listening to me, friend, and you're in great difficulty. You may even be at the point of extremity. You know, many a person at the point of extremity has cried to the Lord. "This poor man cried unto the Lord," said the psalmist, "and the Lord heard him, lifted him up out of all his troubles." Away in Acts chapter 16, a man was about to commit suicide when he cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" Now, my friend, you may be at the point of extremity today. I ask you, in your extremity, are you willing to bow the knee? Are you willing to cry to the Lord in all your need, in all your distress? In your extremity, will you turn to the Lord? He has never yet turned a deaf ear to the cry of an anxious soul. He has never yet turned a deaf ear to the cry of one of his children. I care not whether you're a Christian today or whether you're an unbeliever, my friend. If you're in need and you want the Lord, if you're not saved, you need him for salvation. You need him to save you. You can cry to him now. They cried to the Lord, "Carest thou not?" Of course he cared. And the Savior cares for you, my friend. He cared so much for you that he went to Calvary and died for you. He cares so much for you, he shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. He's willing to save you if you cry to him. In their extremity, in their distress, they cried to the Lord, "Carest thou not that we perish?" I want you to notice the deliverance they experienced. He rose. He rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Oh, what a change took place. The wind ceased. There was a great calm. The calm after the storm. The storm was a trying time, but the calm came upon them. Not only was there the calm on the sea when the waves settled down and when the wind ceased, but there was a calm in their hearts. They enjoyed the peace. Not only were they surrounded by peace now on the Sea of Galilee, there was peace in their heart. You know, when the Lord speaks peace, it's a wonderful thing. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Let me ask you, dear listener, do you enjoy that peace with God? Do you know anything at all about the calm that comes to the conscience, the calm that comes to the soul, that peace that can be enjoyed when you're right with God? If you're passing through the time of adversity now, and the storms of life may be raging, the waves of adversity beating against you, the winds blowing against you, and you don't know which way to turn. It's too much for you, and you can't make any headway. Will you cast yourself upon the Lord? If you're a sinner in need of salvation, I care not, my friend, how great the storm may have been. I care not how great the difficulty. You need a Savior. Turn to Him this very hour. Trust in the Savior's grace and power. Then shall your final answer be saved through a long eternity. Ah, but if you are a Christian and you're still facing difficulties, my friend, get before the Lord. Spread your burden before Him. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Come to Him, and there is deliverance. Oh, there was a great calm. Then He looked on them. Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? It was William Cowper, that great English poet, who, in the midst of a great problem and difficulty in life, wrote that hymn, God Moves in a Mysterious Way. And at verse 3 he says, ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. And he goes on to say, His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan His work in vain. God is His own interpreter, and He will make it plain.